Hear that music, Steve? Do you hear that music?
I do.
You know what it means.
Yep.
You know what it means. Mm-hmm. It's the Morningside Hoops podcast. We're back with a small change. We want to inform our listening audience that Aaliyah Funchal has moved on to bigger and better things, and we're very happy for her. So she will not be joining us for the podcast this year, although we can't rule out a special guest appearance later in the year, but we'll just surprise our listening audience on that. But nevertheless, I do have a co-host, and his name is Steve Merrill. Steve, you're going to be a regular this year. Welcome.
I'm ready for it, Kyle. Thank you.
You know, you do bring a lot of insight, especially since you are the men's basketball SID and you travel with the team everywhere they go. And you've solidified your role. You've been in there for a few years now. So it's good to have, you're a men's basketball insider.
Yeah. No, it's a great group to be around. You know, the guys, they get along so well, and they're just a great group of guys to be on the road with and watching them play, obviously, too.
Yeah. Yeah. And they've had quite a start, and we'll talk about that later on. We're going to talk to Geronimo Rubio de la Rosa and Noah Robledo, two seniors on the team. We're going to talk about their 11-2 start as they prep for the first Ivy League game of the 2025 season. Happy New Year to all those out there listening, and Happy New Year to you. Yeah, I think this is actually the first time I've seen you in person.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, I think I'm pretty sure
yeah.
it is.
Yeah.
Pretty sure it is. And we're also going to speak to two of the women's players, juniors Susie Raffew and Perry Page. They will be joining us first for our women's segment. They are off to a 10-4 start after a 9-4 non-conference. The women's Ivy League season started a week earlier. They have one fewer back-to-back than the men's schedule. So the women's season started last Saturday at Penn. Came away with a 15-point victory, which I thought was a good momentum-building victory to, I think, you know, especially early in the Ivy League season at Penn. Columbia got picked off a couple years ago when they wound up going to the WNIT championship game that year, run all the way, a historic run for an Ivy League team to go to the WNIT championship game 2 years ago before they got that NCAA March Madness selection last year. But I thought a great momentum building victory for the women, and we'll talk to them. They've got Cornell on the road this Saturday. They're at 1 p.m., so you can catch most of the women's game before the men's game start. A little Columbia basketball doubleheader for you if you're at home on your couch.
Do the split screen.
You can do the split screen.
Catch the second half of the women's game and then the men's first half.
You're right. And shout out to Alex Oberweger. I'll be clipping highlights for you so you can show them during halftime of the men's game.
In real time. We move quick.
We move very quickly. But I don't want to keep our podcast listening audience here listening to us for too much longer. So we're just going to take a very small break. I wouldn't even hit skip, really, because I think this is going to be about 15 seconds. And then when we come back, we're going to speak to Susie Raffew and Perry Page.
We all know what comes with being a fan, the ups, the downs, and everything in between. Share a Coke with a friend. Coca-Cola, the official beverage of the Columbia Lions.
All right, welcome back. It's the Morningside Hoops podcast, and I am joined by two juniors. Tri-captain from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and Charters Valley, that's how you say it, right?
Chartiers
Valley, yes, that's how I said it. Perry Page, and a junior forward from Ipswich, England, in Copleston High School. Copleston, yeah. You know, 0 for 2. Susie Raffew. It's so, you know, you're one of the names when I go over pronunciations with, like, the PA announcers when we're on the road, or the visiting broadcast, it's like they're you and like two other people are always like, those are the names. I'm like, it's Raffew.
Yeah, no, that's, you got
it's
a
like, Raffew? I'm like, no. Well, thanks for coming in today. Appreciate it. Yes.
Yeah.
It's our first episode of the season here in 2025 as we just kicked off Ivy League play. But we are going to take a step back before we're going to kind of play a little bit of catch up here for our podcast listening audience. And kind of recap the non-conference season, first of all. So you guys had a 9-4 record in non-conference, just like you did last year. You guys went on a trip to, which included a trip to the Bahamas, where you went 2-1, including a huge win on the last day in the Bahamas against Ball State, who was ranked number one in the mid-major poll and is also right alongside you guys in terms of all the bracketology, which I'm sure you guys look, but you don't look, right? in terms of how that's going. And you know, the team also challenged themselves against some really tough competition in Indiana, Duke, Richmond, Villanova, overtime win at Providence. Perry, we'll talk about that a little bit, a little last second heroics. Perry, I'll start with you since you're new to our podcast. Talk about, you know, that kind of schedule this year. I feel like this team always has a challenging non-conference schedule, especially in recent years. But talk about how that really prepares you guys, not only for like a potential NCAA tournament appearance, but like with how good the Ivy League now is in women's basketball.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. I think having a schedule like that really shows how battle tested we are. And regardless of the wins and the losses, it definitely helps us prepare for March and prepare for the Ivy League conference as well. I think us, Princeton, Harvard, Brown, all Penn, all of them, we are a very challenging and very competitive conference. So just getting us ready for teams that we're going to be playing all conference here just to help us get into the tournament. It's always good to have a Duke and Indiana, the Villanovas of women's basketball to be playing against, so that way you're really battle tested as well.
Yeah. And I know the team, you know, this team returns a lot from last year, but, you know, obviously there's one key starter from last year in Abby, and we don't want to forget Nicole Stevens and Paige Lauder as well. But, you know, I feel like, Susie, do you feel like it really changed kind of what people's roles are on the team this year, like in terms of everybody kind of had to fill in a little bit of a different role?
Yeah, I think Abby's been an anchor in the program for so long. So if her leaving, like, it just, as well as it being like a great significance, like everyone else then needs to like step up to like fill that space, but then also grow as their own player. Mm-hmm. So I think it just opened up more space and then allowed people to do more and more. And that's what we need. Like, we also were being 1-13. So like having people step up in different roles and something they didn't usually do is definitely what's helping the team this year.
And speaking of people stepping up in different roles, you two have been very key, I think, in the rebounding role, especially of late. Perry, I know you've had you had back-to-back games at the beginning of the year where you had 12 rebounds. Mm-hmm. And then we got into December and then you had back-to-back games with 12 more rebounds. And I know you and I have talked about, like, you're trying to get over that
12. Trying to
break that 12. Then you had 9 in the Ivy League opener against Penn, which was a 15-point, 74-59 Columbia victory. So you two, in terms of rebounding, like, talk about, Susie, I'll start with you, like, in terms of, is that like a point of emphasis in practice with you two every day, or with you in particular? Like, I'll let you talk about it first.
Yeah, I think in all aspects, like practice, film, and then like even before games, like in the world, we have like CC, Kitty, and Rye, like giving us that reminder. I think just like, it's just like a major emphasis. Like, a lot of the games are one on the board. So it's like one of our goals as well in games, usually two offense and defensive rebounds too. So I think it's a major point of emphasis, and like it is a key to winning at games.
Mm-hmm. When you're rebounding, like, what's something that you do to try and get into a good rebounding position, or like, you know, talk about it from your perspective?
Yeah, I think, well, defensively, it's all about knowing where the ball is. Like, even if you're guarding your person, you just need to have an awareness of where the ball is at all times. So, you know, if like a shot's gone up behind you, and then with that, just like tracking and timing too, which I'm still working on, but I think those are definitely the key things that enables to get a rebound. Then offensively, again, same thing, like awareness of like your teammates shooting the ball and like tracking where that shot's going to come off to, and then the timing, because the other team is trying to box you out too. So just maneuvering around them too, yeah.
And Perry, I know you talked recently with me, I think it was after the Towson game, and maybe, and I'm, you know, talking to the staff about how, like, you know, you do this, you do your role on the team and then everything else kind of falls into place. And I know you talked about that recently. Do you feel like that kind of happened for you a little bit at Penn?
Yeah, absolutely. I think even coming out of the halftime, I mean, obviously our first half wasn't so great and we were very relaxed going in.
First quarter was
pretty good, but that second quarter was a little bit iffy.
Yeah.
I would say so. So coming after that and then the response into that and just understanding what we needed. I mean, Katie Collins definitely was hurting us on the glass as well. And we wanted to make sure that they were one and done. And then also creating second chance opportunities for us on the offensive side. So when we rebound, we get second chances, and then we rebound on the defensive side. It helps limit them and limit their touches and help with their scores as well. So I think the biggest thing with that is that when we get those rebounds, we can also push and play fast, and we can also lead the break. And then on the offensive side, then we're able to just like create those one mores and then get some more shots up for our shooters, and then also look for ourselves as well.
And I don't want to diminish you two in terms of shooting. I've seen you both knock down threes.
Yes.
Susie hits a three, it gets me out of my chair. It really does. It's kind of funny. So we have this note that we have 40. It's the longest road streak in the country in terms of not playing a game at home, 47 days, which you guys are home practicing, especially now that we're in a bit of a normal schedule in terms of conference. But Do you feel like, Perry, I'll start with you this time, that that's been a thing? Like, would you have noticed if you didn't read about it?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I kind of did realize in the beginning. Once our schedule came out, I was like, really, 4 home games? Like,
yeah,
that is
yeah, a lot of
not
return
a lot.
Trips from last year. We had many home games last year.
So many.
Yeah, so many.
So, but like as the season goes on, I mean, I love being on the road too. And I think my routine is a lot better when we're on the road and I'm a little bit more locked into, also with school being out too, I'm even more locked into like what I have to do. And then more my focus goes into basketball too. So I think being on the road, being road warriors, I mean, I'm fine with that, you know?
Yeah.
But I'm very happy to be back on the 20th to be playing and let me in again.
Yes. January 20th, first home game of the Ivy League season, first home game of 2025, and first home game since, I'm scrolling back, and
December
I should know this, December 4th. Susie knows.
4th.
December 4th to January 20th. But speaking of playing at home, Susie, I think you guys are aware because we've posted about this, but we have the program has won its last 17 regular season games at home, including every single home game regular season in 2024, 11-0. What is it about playing here? Like, does it make, obviously it makes you all more comfortable because, you know, you're sleeping in your own bed and it's just part of your routine. But talk about the atmosphere that Levy and Jim provides, especially when we get into Ivy League season. And we all know that, you know, the bigger games against Princeton and stuff, there's a ton of students and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, first, I think it's all about like normalcy. Like we practice at Levy and all the time.
Yeah.
So we're used to that environment, like being in our locker room, walking up the steps to the court. Like that's something we do every day. So just having that familiarity is something that really helps too, like shooting on our courts, our rims. And then secondly, like we're playing in Levy and it's just community that like this program is built, like Coach G, Ruby and all the coaches and staff, like the program they built, the outreach that they've like built, and like all these people like pouring back into us, like my students to faculty to people in the neighborhoods, and it's like all the people that support us, I think that really builds the environment for when we play.
Do you feel that on campus too, when you're like, especially when I know school's not in session right now, so there's not a ton of people on campus, but do you know, would you feel like that kind of buzz when you guys have a home game that day and it's a big game, do people like, oh, I'm coming to your game tonight and stuff? Does that happen?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even with like Amanda Goodwin, like her promoting. Like,
oh, shout
like
out
her,
Amanda.
Yeah. You see like her stuff, like outside the dining hall, like promoting our games.
Yes.
Giving us a cheer when we walk into the dining hall. So that's always like really funny. But yeah, no, there's always like good excitement, especially like this time of year too.
Yeah. And Susie, shout out to you. You're now working in the ticket office, filling in. Well, not filling in. You are, Caitlin Davis used to work in the ticket office and now you've been in the ticket office this year. It's been fun to see you in there.
I know, I like it.
She does it all.
You're a little behind the scenes.
Yeah.
A little behind the scenes.
Does it all.
Fun stuff.
Speaking of fun stuff, another transition. Yesterday was a great outing. The team went to see a Broadway show, Hell's Kitchen, about... kind of, I don't know. It's about Alicia Keys. I mean, the play. I don't want to spoil it for anybody, but if you're going to see it, but it's kind of dramatized Alicia Keys as a 17-year-old, like going through her life and all of that. And was it every song was an Alicia Keys song or was it most of them?
Yeah.
Yeah. I really feel like some of the song, I mean, I should have asked, or I feel like one of you should have asked at the end when we were, having that opportunity to meet some of the cast. If some of these songs had to be like reframed for the play, because I'm like, it felt like a lot of those songs felt like they probably were a little more romantic.
Yeah.
And then like, but when the dad is singing to Alicia, you're like, I don't know if this is what this song is about. But talk about that experience and just like, I really feel like that was a hashtag only here kind of moment, right?
Yeah. I mean, like, where else are you getting to do that?
Yeah.
And even like getting to meet the cast afterwards, again, that speaks to Columbia's community. Cause like we had Tom Kitts, who's a Columbia alum.
Yeah.
Like, basically organized the whole thing for us. So that was really cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it was wonderful. I mean, that is an experience I'll never forget in my entire life. And not only the production, but just being able to understand, like, Tom was literally a Columbia alum and is doing amazing things even outside of what he's producing with Hell's Kitchen, and then being able to see, like, how much the cast loved Tom. I mean, it was just amazing to see, and just being able to, like, pick their brains a little bit, connect with them, and then we gave them a little bit of hats after, and then being able to see, like, to rep the merch, too. It was just, like, so surreal. It was just a full circle moment.
I was waiting
for
Alicia Keys to pop out.
I was waiting. waiting. I was so ready.
I would have had to like hold it. I feel like we all would have had to hold each other back. Somebody would have had a
Coach Allie. Coach Allie most certainly would have been on that stage.
I talked to Coach Allie yesterday and I said that to her when we were there, and she's like, I've seen this 3 times and it hasn't happened. So I think she was coming to more of the realization that it wasn't gonna happen, but the rest of us were like, it could be today.
Uh-huh. Absolutely.
All right. Well, let's before we let you go, let's talk about the road ahead. So like we said, Columbia 9-4 in the non-conference, started the Ivy League season at the Palestra this past Saturday with a 74-59 win over Penn. And the road ahead. So one more weekend where it's just on the road this Saturday at Cornell. Where you guys have a bit of a happy memory the last time you were there. That was the regular season finale where you clinched your second straight Ivy League regular season championship. And then the following weekend, it's you're home, but you're on the road first. You're at Yale on Saturday, and then you're home against Princeton at 7 p.m. on Martin Luther King Day. But I know you guys, one game at a time, focused on Cornell. So, Susie, you know, not necessarily talking about the Cornell scout, but like what's a point of emphasis this week in terms of preparing for Cornell?
I think, well, logistic wise anyway, like Cornell is the longest like road trip or like the furthest away. So I think just like preparing for that and like knowing what to do with like all that time and like just finding ways to like stay locked in and like embrace that travel day as well too. But I think when it comes to Cornell as a team, like Cornell is always a team that plays really hard, fights hard the whole game. And I think a point of emphasis this year, especially for us too, is like they have like really good forwards. So I think being able to lock in defensively is going to be big for us too, especially in like the rest of the bigs on our team, so shutting down their forwards.
And Perry, from like, what's your perspective on that?
Yeah, I mean, Sue said it exceptionally well. I mean, honestly, they play really hard and they're never going to go away. Mm-hmm. Like they are always going to play the hardest and they're going to keep chipping and chipping for the full 40 minutes. Yeah. So, I mean, just making sure that we never get complacent and that we're always giving our best as well, because teams like this are always going to give you their best.
Yep. Yeah. And in talking with Coach, and I'm sure she brought this up to you guys this year as well, like Cornell has a new coach, new coaching staff this year. So it's not the same Cornell team that you necessarily been used to seeing, and like in terms of their style of play. Mm-hmm. And I know I'm talking to Coach and she was on a media call yesterday telling media members, like, it's just completely different. Like, it's just like not the Cornell, like it's just like a completely new team in the league. Right. So it should be interesting. It should be fun, but hopefully happy memories over in Newman Arena last year. So hopefully building more this year.
Absolutely.
Yes. You enjoying these next couple weeks before class starts again?
Definitely.
I mean, it's got to be in terms of like, I guess it always true. It happens at the start of Ivy League season. You're still on that break from school. Like that must be so nice.
Yes.
And rather than trying to balance school and then you get into the hectic part of the schedule. Oh my goodness.
Definitely. And being on the road while we're out of school honestly makes it so much better, because then I feel like we waste home games when we're not in school, because then the students aren't here either.
It is super nice that your first home game is when students are back.
Right. Yes. So
everybody's
really
kind of, especially it's a night game. So even if they came back late on Martin Luther King Day,
most people will still be here
because they have class Tuesday.
Right.
So that'll be nice.
Yeah.
Well, appreciate you two stopping in.
Thank you.
Columbia women's basketball team, 10-4, 1-0 in the Ivy League, looking for a third straight Ivy League regular season championship and go back to the Ivy League tournament and hopefully get that Ivy League tournament for the first time.
Absolutely.
Yes. One step at a time. One game at a time.
Stacking days.
All right, Susie, Perry, appreciate you coming in today.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
See you.
Hockey, it means the world to me. When you see me on the ice, you'd never know I was born with half a heart. But Dr. Basha and his team at New York Presbyterian re-engineered my heart so the right side does all the pumping. I had 3 surgeries before I turned 3, so I can go all out, especially when I'm on the ice. Half a heart, I'm all heart.
Welcome back. It's our first episode of the season of the Morningside Hoops podcast. I'm Kyle Matrician, joined in this segment by Steve Merrill. Steve, good to see you.
It's great to be here.
In person, not on Zoom.
In person's always better.
In person, you know, it's been a while. It's been a while because, you know, been traveling all over the place. But anyway, we are joined by our 2 guests, Geronimo Rubio de la Rosa, a senior from the Dominican Republic, and Noah Robledo, a senior from, ooh, I don't know how to say this, Leander, Texas?
Leander.
Dang it.
Yeah. You're close.
Yeah, it's Leander. Leander, Texas. Thanks for joining us, guys. Right after practice, fresh out of practice. How'd it go today?
We had a good day. I think we had a good day.
You had a good day?
Yeah, good practice as always.
Well, you guys have been having a pretty good start to your season. 11-2. Steve Merrill tells me the best start since the... I don't want to take all your notes from you, so please feel free
to jump in.
Best start since the 1969-70 season. Started the year 8-0, including a win at Villanova. So since this is our first podcast of the season, we do want to do a little bit of a non-conference recap. And we do want to talk about that Villanova game with you guys. So what was that, game two of the year?
Game two of the year.
If you can dig back into your memory banks to remember the Villanova game, I mean, how big was that for you guys? And how, I mean, G, I'll just start with you. Just talk about what you can remember from that game and how, like, big that felt for you, especially the two of you going into your senior year to feel like, okay, like, I think we got something.
It was great. The day before, we played Loyola. We didn't have a good game. So we came together after the game and we were just prepared to play and go to war with any other team. And it was Villanova next. So, you know, it was them that we played. And we just play hard, play our game. I remember we were executing everything, playing so physical. We outplayed them. That's what the coach said, not us. I just remember just having a good time. And competing. That's all I remember.
Yeah. And Noah, for you, like that game, what do you remember from that game? And like what you felt like went right for you guys? Did you guys do well?
Yeah. It was just a collective effort. Everybody was bought in and understood. Like G said, the game prior, it wasn't our best showing. And we understood exactly what we needed to work on moving forward, and what we could showcase about ourselves and carry that experience over. So next, like G said, the Villanova game, that was just who was in front of us for the next game. And, you know, we just put everything together that coach had planned for us and then that we understood within ourselves that we could do, within our preparation. So it ultimately was just a great game. Definitely an experience for us seniors. You know, we hadn't won a game like that in a very, very long time. So, you know, just being out there, being able to contribute, being able to be on the bench, being in an arena like that in that environment, it was great.
And then it just really felt like that win kind of catapulted you guys into the next several games. I mean, a 20-point win over Delaware State, you sneak out a tough win against Lehigh at home, and then you guys just keep rolling to that 8-0 start. Obviously, you know, Albany happens, and do you feel like what do you feel like were the good things? Like, obviously, you guys are 8-0 and riding the momentum of being undefeated. And then you run into Albany on the road. So what did you feel like you learned from that game as we kind of recap the non-conference season?
I can start. I can say that I just feel like for that game, I just learned that it doesn't matter how good or how much you do sometimes and at some point in life or whatever in games, you will be humble. You want to get humble. Mm-hmm. And from that game, I think that's what I took. We got humble because we had I remember we had like 8 games in a row. I don't remember.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that's what I took from that game. I don't think we were like so like well prepared like for the games before. We were like taking that for granted and we just got humbled but we bounced back and we just kept going.
You did. You got the 2 wins over USMMA and Sarah Lawrence and then the home win pretty recently against Fairfield here on December 28th. And then you guys went to Rutgers, which was your last non-conference game, Power Conference Rutgers team. So Noah, how do you guys feel now that we've caught up heading into Ivy play? You'll have had 12 days to prepare for Cornell from Rutgers to now. So how do you guys feel heading into that Ivy League opener?
I mean, we feel great. We continue to pile days on top of each other, stack days, and these days are days that are filled with, you know, a lot of detail, a lot of effort, a lot of bought-in with the team. We understand, again, like what our goals are as a team, what our aspirations are as individuals, and being able to, you know, combine everybody's, you know, dreams, goals, and standards all together is ultimately what we're aiming towards. So, you know, having these 12 days just to be able to work and build towards our end goal, you know, we're excited. We're looking forward to it. You know, all of these past games, it's an interesting time of the season, too, because all the past games are, I mean, it's 0-0 now. Like, we're in playoffs. Mm-hmm. So, everything else, it was good. Villanova win was great. 8-0 was great. But now it's 0-0, and it's another season within the season. So, we're excited for that.
Yeah. Which kind of leads me to my next point. Getting to the Ivy League tournament this year. Obviously, I know that is a huge goal for you guys. So, no, like, what's it going to take? Like, you've been on this team, obviously, now for 4 years, and G, you have as well. And you guys, like, have a nice core of players, you know, that have really played a lot of minutes in return. So, like, what's it going to take in your perspective? And maybe it's kind of like what you just said, stacking days together to break through and make the Ivy League tournament this year.
I think a key understanding now is that a lot of teams, or every team in the Ivy League, has basically seen us play at our best. They've seen us play at our worst. We have to understand that, you know, us as a team, we're going to be getting everybody's best now moving forward. Like, we put a target on our back, and it's something that we've asked for since we first got here. You know, we had to go through that turmoil whenever, you know, us current seniors were freshmen and sophomores. We had to go through that turmoil to get to the point that we're at now, where we're at the front seat and we're in the leadership spot. So, I mean, now it's just, you know, just realizing that we're going to get everybody's best game, and then, you know, just making sure that everybody is just locked into the goal that we have. Like, I don't really want to say all of our goals and what we have as a team, but, you know, us Columbia Lions, like, we wear our name with pride on the front of our jerseys and on the back. So, you know, we're carrying that with not only our last names, but the school's name as well. And, you know, we just want to make, you know, the people a part of our program and ourselves proud before anything.
As leaders, you guys have been through the Ivy Gauntlet 3 times now, right, where you've played the Ivy League season. You talked about it being a new season. And with these last, you know, week or so to prepare for the Ivy League season, what has it been like? What are the lessons and things that you're telling the younger guys about what to expect about Ivy League play, and how is the preparation different? And do you dial it up a little bit more now?
I think one thing that we said was that our league is underrated. So they don't know that. I don't think they know that. And we just want to make sure that they know that when we play, like, you have to be well prepared, because every team, like, you know, the Ivy, they play smart, fast, even if they don't look like they do. And that's the one thing we were trying to make sure that they understand as freshmen.
And I think that's something last year that everybody saw firsthand in the Ivy League tournament, when Brown, the 4 seed, had Yale, the 1 seed. Or no, it was 4-1.
Princeton.
Brown beat Princeton in the 4-1 game.
Yeah.
And then almost won the tournament, had Yale, the 2 seed, on the ropes in the championship game. Yeah. Which goes to show you that, like, once you're in the – I mean, getting to the tournament, doesn't matter if you're first, second, third, fourth. Yeah, the league is – it's very wide open.
Yeah.
Do you guys feel the same way in terms of, like, your approach to this 14-game season?
Yeah, I feel like that, about, like, being the one, the second or third or fourth, is just a number.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, everybody's good. So you got to play your A game every night. So you can't fall asleep, because they're going to make you pay. So that's basically what happened last year.
And, Drew, we want to focus a little bit on some of the awards you've gotten so far this year. You know, Steve Merrill's here, and he can definitely delve into that. He knows way more than I do off the top of his head. So.
Awards that I hadn't really heard of prior to the start of the season. I'm like, oh, G got another award. Great. We're gonna promote it. I have you down as 3-time Ivy League Player of the Week. I have you as 2-time Lou Henson National Player of the Week.
Mid-major, that's a big one right there.
Mid-major Madness Player of the Week. Mm. Dick Vitale National Player of the Week.
That's kind
of
cool. Dick Vitale shouted you out.
USBWA Oscar Robertson National Player of the Week. And you're also on the Lou Henson Award early season watch list.
Oh, wow.
So,
for the mid-major player of the year.
Yeah.
Yes.
Whoa. So crazy.
It's quite a few. I know you're a team first guy, but how rewarding is it to see your hard work pay off and get this type of recognition?
I think it's good, but, you know, it's all credit to my teammates, like I always say. You know, I know it's a lot of hard work that I put in the summer, but it's also the teammates I have, and without them, I don't think I can get those accomplishments. And, you know, it's just great to be known or rewarded for the things you work for. But you also got, you have to give the shot to your teammates too, the shout out. So yeah, I just think thankful for my teammates, and you know, I don't know what else to say about that.
Just, yeah,
such a humble man.
Such a humble. It's hard when people ask you about yourself too. And then I feel like it's easier to ask Noah.
Yeah, that's about what, yeah, that was exactly.
I feel like when you have a teammate, a leader, a scoring leader, typically on the team who starts getting stuff like that, like it means good things for the team as a whole, right? It means that stuff is going right. So like put that into perspective for you and like the rest of your team. And like, how do you guys celebrate that when that happens for G? Like, you know,
it's nothing new for us. Like we know what we got. We got the best player in the league. I'm going to say that.
That's
with
right.
With all honesty, with every respect within G, like best player in the league, without a doubt. And I'm going to say that to the day I die. But, you know, us as a collective, G not only is, you know, the star player and, you know, the guy who's out there doing everything, but, you know, ultimately he's a good human being at the end of the day. He's a good person on and off the court. You know, he's always there for guys, always been a leader on the court. And, you know, we couldn't ask for a better teammate ultimately from G. Like, all the praise that he received, like, yeah, it's through his hard work and through us. But, you know, it takes a village to be able to have a person like this in your circle.
So, G, you've had, I mean, pretty much a great game every game. But the Stony Brook game, the 37-point performance. You tied
I
the
saw
Levy
the picture on social media.
Record, right.
That's a crazy man.
In the locker room, that's right. We can get to that, too. In the locker room, you had the paper with the 37.
Oh, yeah.
Let's get the backstory of that. I think it's one of the best photos we've had this season. Whose idea was that, and then how'd that come about?
I remember I had an interview after the game. But when I came down, I don't remember who said, oh, whoa, wait, you got to write this. You got to write it, and we got to take a picture. And I was like, man, nah, I'll do it. I didn't want to do it. You know me.
Yeah, yeah.
So I wrote it, and we took the picture, and it was just crazy. Everybody was just happy with it, and they were all happy for me. So it was great.
Yeah. You shot the lights out that night. I think you could have kept going because you came out of the game. You only played 30 minutes that night.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
You definitely could have kept scoring more. And then the other performance, the Fairfield game. The first half, you don't score. Then the second half, you just kind of come out and drop 27. You guys, yeah, and you pull away with that win against Fairfield. In a game like that, like what switches for you at halftime?
I live by saying it's not how you start, it's how you finish. So, you know, I didn't start. you know, it wasn't my best like start, but, you know, I just kept trusting the offense, and I knew it was gonna come at some point. I just go with the flow, and it came.
He looked at the bench and just said, "Watch this." that's the word for word he said. He said, "Just chill, watch this." That's all he said. Look, watch this.
That was the one time I did say something. Yeah,
No, I feel like that's kind of like the attitude you play with, from what I see. You know, like the chip on the shoulder that you have. I know that's like a cliche thing for an athlete, but like especially when you get going from behind the arc, you said, you know, he's a crazy man. But take us through your 3-point. Celebration that you pull out after you drain a triple.
Yeah, man.
First, subscribe it to the people. So we know what we're talking about.
The audio version.
First of all, it evolved. It was the bone arrow, you know, pointing into the air. That was cool. Mm-hmm. That was when I was a little naive, a little youngster. Then I, you know, as the years developed, senior year, I'm gonna give credit to LeBron. I saw LeBron do it one time, and I was like, nah, that's tough. Like I gotta take that. Like I think he hit maybe two or three of them like back to back, and he just. Do up the crazy sign around his ears. It's been in a circle. So I was like, I got to take that. Like, I'm a crazy man at the end of the day. I'll play with that chip on my shoulder, knock down threes. Let's do it. So, it, you know, it just stuck.
I had a feeling it had to do with something about being crazy.
Yeah.
So I'm glad we have
glad
the
we cleared,
behind
that. Clear that up.
Absolutely. Yeah. Important topic of this podcast.
We've talked a little bit about, you know, how you guys have had, like, quite a returning core that's really, like, kind of built this team around. But talk about some of those new guys this year that have been contributing. And Noah, we'll start with you. Like, what have you seen from the new guys and, like, how they've really made this team, like, you know, not complete because, you know, nobody's there yet, haven't reached any mountaintops yet, but how they've kind of filled in the little pieces that maybe have been missing in years past?
Yeah, you know, I'm going to say the freshman class is always, I mean, they've put me in a surprise this year. They've been very, very easy to, you know, coach, be able to mentor, be leaders too. They've been able to receive a lot of information very, very quickly from not only us as their teammates, but the coaching staff as well. They've been able to pick up on a lot of concepts offensively and defensively. And, you know, the games that they have gotten into, they're able to, you know, flow into our offense, play well on defense. They're understanding a lot of, like, our team principles and, you know, our coverages and all of the things that, like, make Columbia basketball what Columbia basketball is. They've been able to catch it on the fly, you know. So being able to have those guys and, you know, some of them get to play, some of them don't in the bigger games. But, you know, everybody contributes. You know, they are in here tirelessly working on the scout teams, or, you know, they're in practice just picking up on a lot of information. So, you know, I got to give credit to the freshmen for sure.
Yeah, G, what have you seen?
For me, what I can say is, you know, coming from high school and then going to college, basically D1, that's what we are. That's what we are. You know, you come with, like, the mindset of, like, oh, I'm the guy. I'm, like, I got to be the best player. I got to be all that. But I think the freshmen we have now, they don't think that way. Even though they have the talent to be like that, they don't act like that. And I feel like that's what's helping us to, like, help them grow, like, faster. And that's what I like about them. They just don't act like, you know, like, oh, I'm the guy, I'm this, I'm mm-hmm. all of that. Mm-hmm. But they just listen and they just do whatever, like, you say. And that's what I like about them.
Yeah, I feel like you guys, too, I've noticed that, like, you have a large team. This year, eight, and I don't just mean physically tall. I just mean you got 18 guys on the team, right? So do you feel like that maybe helps somebody coming in as a freshman? And I don't know if you can necessarily speak for them in terms of like, okay, like I'm going to absorb rather than try and be the guy coming in from day one.
I feel like, yes, that should help, yeah. Because having a lot of like players on the same team, like when we run plays or whatever we do, they have the time to like, stay out, watch whoever's in front, and then they can come in and do what we like just did. Mm-hmm. So I feel like it should help. I just don't know if they feel like that, but I think it should be helping.
That's definitely a credit to you guys, though, and how the culture's evolved, you know, and like the leadership. I know like last year, Josh Odunowu mm-hmm. and Xavier McLean kind of really started to lay more of a base. And then now you guys are in this position, like the leadership aspect is so important. Especially like in this program, the continuity, you guys are the sixth, you have the sixth best continuity rating in the country. Like that shouldn't be overlooked. But like, just how big is that when, you know, the chemistry really evolves into something where you go out there, you're focused on your culture, and then everything else takes care of the rest.
I'm gonna be honest, that's what I'm most proud of. Like leaving here, I remember sitting down and talking to Coach, and I was just telling him, like, I just want to be able to leave this place better than I found it. Like when I first got here, you know, I'm not even going to really speak on it too much, but it's not at the place that it was now. Mm-hmm. And like now we actually have culture. Now we actually have guys where we got 18 guys on the 16, 17 guys on the team, and there's no egos. There's no nothing. Everybody's bought in. Everybody's on one page. There's no corny voices. Everybody leads. Everybody contributes. Everybody plays a role in the team. And it feels amazing. Like, I walk out of here. I've walked out of this gym every single day happy. There isn't a single day that I've walked out and been like, nah, I don't want to be here. Nah, I can't take this anymore. Like, no, not once. Like, everybody on this team is happy. And I can say that with full confidence.
And then how about the role that the coaching staff has played in this as well? Because they stuck by you guys. Not only did you stick by them, but they stuck by you the past couple of years. And they believed in you. And they realized that, hey, like, we're not there yet, but it's not because you guys are bad basketball players. Yeah. It's because you need to get more physical, just better. And that's how it goes. That, you know, you go to your job when you start your new job, you know, you're not going to be as good as you are 5 years from then.
Yeah.
You know, so what's that been like with the
I mean, staff? Yeah, it's a lot of credits to them. Like, they trust and we trust. And that's how it's been since day one. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's why we are the way we are. Like, we are happy when we are around each other. Like, not just players, but coaches as well. It's just because since day one, it has been like, hey, whatever you need, whatever you're struggling with, they're going to be there to help you the same way we are for them. And I think, yeah, that's why we are like that.
Yeah. We're just a big family. Like, there will be events where, you know, certain people, say our athletic trainer, Aliza, had she had like a karate black belt ceremony, and all the guys came just to support her. And it's like, we do small actions that are like family based. Like, if certain people can't travel for Thanksgiving, like, certain guys open up their home, and a lot of people will, you know, have fun with that. So, yeah.
You don't see that in every program.
No,
you don't.
Not at all.
Yeah.
You just don't.
And speaking of continuity, I'm going to bring some continuity to this podcast. And I did ask Susie and Perry when we spoke to the women about going to see a Broadway play last night. And I know you guys did as well, right?
Yeah.
So what did you guys go see, and tell us about it?
Alexander Hamilton.
That's right. Mm. You did go see Hamilton. Had you guys seen it before?
Nah, that was my first time.
That was your first time?
Yeah.
What about you, Noah?
No, that wasn't my first time.
That was your first time? Yeah. What did you think? I've seen it in person, not with the, like, it was like 4 or 5 years ago. It wasn't with the original cast. So, I mean, I thought it was great, though.
I liked it. I liked it. Yeah, it was great. It was good. I liked it.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's awesome.
Well, no, I was going to say, you know, off the court activities, what's the best activity you guys have done as a team? You guys have done quite a few cool things over the years.
Oh, man.
I got to think about that. Let me see.
I don't, like, all as a team is, you know, we'll just hang out all together. Probably invite everybody over to my crib, my house. Everybody would come have food, listen to music, chill, play the game probably. Or, you know, we'll go in like small groups. So I'll hit G up and like, yo, you want to go shopping? Let's go here. Let's go down there. Yeah. Some of the guys like, yo, let's go take pictures and stuff. So.
Yeah. We going to the movies too.
Yeah, go to the movies. Guys went to the movies last week.
It's a lot of things we do.
Yeah. Speaking of shopping, no, you kind of dominated the shopping scene when we were in Europe last year. I just remember every day you had a new bag with stuff. I mean, how much room does this guy have to take stuff home?
Bought a new suitcase to bring it all home.
Oh, literally, I had to.
I'm like, he cleared Milan out.
And I'm going back this summer too.
Oh my goodness, I'll have to
just
give
for
him
a good time too.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, guys, I mean, this was fun. I appreciate you guys coming in and chatting with us ahead of the start of the Ivy League season. The Columbia men's basketball team, 11-2, plays their first Ivy League game at home this Saturday against Cornell at 2 p.m. And you can watch that on ESPN Plus.
Yep.
So we're looking forward to it, guys. Appreciate you coming in.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks, guys.
And that's it. Our first episode of the 2025 season. Steve Merrill, you did it.
It was a great time.
You did it. How do you feel?
Nice way to start the year. I feel excited for the Ivy League slate. I mean, because, you know, the non-conference can drag a little bit. You have the finals break, and then in this case, for the on the men's side, they had another, 11-day break from their final non-conference.
That's true. They're going through, they had two kind of big breaks there.
You know, and the way the Ivy League schedule works, you can really get into a nice routine and flow with things.
I appreciate the Ivy League schedule once we get to this part of the year. There's a lot of routine.
Definitely.
I like the kind of once we, whether you play Friday, Saturday, or just Saturday, it feels like there's a week leading up to each game. There's preparation, you know. We don't need to bore people with that on our part, but it feels better for us.
Definitely.
And I think, actually, the players and the coaches, and speaking to them, they do enjoy the routine of the Ivy League season as well.
And then for fans, the uniqueness of it too. You know, I think people still appreciate the schedule and how the Ivy League operates in that regard.
Yeah. Do you like the back-to-backs? Or do you prefer, let's see, because the men, I believe, have 5 back-to-back weekends and 4 singles. Do you prefer that, or would you prefer more single weeks? Everybody has a take. What's your take?
Oh, you know, I haven't really thought too much about it. Yeah. I just think, you know, like the players, one game at a time.
Yeah.
One game at a time.
Kyle's just one game at a time.
Just one game at a time.
It's just one notes package at a time, really. So.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think for the away, being away, the back-to-backs are good, just since you're eliminating
a trip. Yeah, you know? Especially when it's Harvard-Dartmouth.
There's definitely a benefit to that. I mean, home, you can play. We always say you can play as many home games, you know, as you want. Yeah. It doesn't matter.
Anyway, if they've made it this far, thanks for listening. This is the Morningside Hoops podcast. You can catch us starting this week, every week. We'll take you through the rest of the season, hopefully through the Ivy League tournament and even into March Madness, which Steve is looking forward to. I'm Kyle Matrician. That's Steve Merrill. This is the Morningside Hoops podcast. You can listen to this podcast on Spotify, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts. GoColumbiaLions.com. Let's throw that in there. Anywhere you listen to your podcast, you can catch the Morningside Hoops podcast. Just search for Columbia Athletics. See you next week.